Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I'm excited, church. This is exciting. This is actually kind of a milestone. I don't know if I'll finish today, to be honest. I'm not sure. If I do finish today, or maybe it'll be next week, but this will actually be the first book I've ever preached through completely. And so I'm really excited. And started it on my birthday. Back in April, we started this, the book of Ephesians on my birthday. And so this is special for me, and I'm thankful, I'm glad that the Lord led us to go through Ephesians for the first book as a church. I think it's been good for me. I know it's been good for me, and I trust that it has been good for a lot of the rest of you as well. Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to start in verse 18. Verse 18, where Paul is kind of summing up the armor of God, and this is kind of where we ended last week. And he starts out, he's in the middle of a sentence, okay? He's talking about taking up the sword of the Spirit, taking up the helmet of salvation, shield of faith, semicolon. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is interesting. There is really no perfect translation out there. I do like the New King James. Overall, I like it really well. But there's certain things that some translations get right and others get better. And this is one of those instances where, truthfully, like the New American Standard probably gets this more accurate. The wording's a little different in Greek. It's kind of out of order here. It's more like, start with the with in verse 18, and it goes something like this, with all prayer or through all prayer and supplication. Is that right? Yeah, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, praying always. Basically, the idea is this. He says to be praying always, but praying is a passive verb. This is interesting. It's like a passive tense verb. In other words, prayer is happening, but we're not doing it. He says, praying in the Spirit always. All right? And it's the idea of through prayer. All right, everything he has said about putting on the armor of God, he gets to verse 18, and it's the idea of all this happens through prayer. So we pray on the armor every day. And, as we talked about last week, we need to be praying it on each other. We need to be praying it on our brothers and sisters as well. You know, I'll get that in a second. I'll jump ahead of myself. Anyway. But the praying that's going on here, the verb's passive. It says praying in the Spirit. So the Spirit of God in us is praying through us, which is what the Bible tells us, right? It says that we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Spirit interprets our prayers to the Father. And so this is the idea that the Spirit is praying, and we are just allowing Him to pray. We are a channel that the Spirit prays to the Father through. And maybe it's happening in English, maybe it's happening in a prayer language, but the Spirit is praying through us, and honestly, we're kind of along for that ride. We're letting the Holy Spirit affect us, and the prayer just kind of flows over because of the work of the Spirit in our hearts. So praying always in that way, in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. We talked about this a little bit last week, but I didn't touch on it very much. Prayer and supplication. Prayer, the word for prayer there is worship. It's what we were just doing. It is that thanking God for who He is, that praising Him for who He is. And I think it's important that he puts that first, prayer and supplication. You remember the story in the Old Testament when the enemy army was coming against Judah, this huge army was coming against the kingdom of Judah, and King Jehoshaphat got the word. He went and cried out to God, said, "Oh Lord, here's this big army. We can't beat them. We need you. Please help." And then he got the word from the Lord, "Here's what you're going to do. Take the singers, take the band, take the praise team, and put them out in front of the army and start marching towards this battle. And you will not have to lift a finger." So that's what they did, right? They got the singers and the players out in front of the army, and they marched in front of the army singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endures forever," if I remember correctly. And when they crested the hill where the enemy army is waiting for them, you know what they found? They found a valley full of dead bodies. Because as they were praising God and saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good," God had set their enemies against each other, and they had all wiped each other out to a man. And all that Judah had to do was go down and pick up the leftovers. And all they did was plunder. They just took the goods off the battlefield. They didn't have to draw a sword or shoot an arrow. That is the power of praise. That is the power of praise and of worship. It clears the atmosphere. It acknowledges, right, like we said a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, that the good news of the gospel is that our God reigns. And as we praise and as we worship and acknowledge God for who He is, the enemy, he can't take that. He cannot take that. He cannot remain in such an environment. He has to leave. It drives him crazy. So there is power in praise and in worship. And so he starts out with saying prayer as in worship. And then supplication. Praise God for who He is. Isn't that the pattern Jesus gave us? Right? This sermon's kind of a sermon on prayer. Actually, a lot of it's a sermon on prayer. What? Jesus said, pray in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, what? Hallowed be Your name. First thing you say, blessed be Your name, O God. Then Your kingdom come, Your will be done, and the rest of the petitions. But first, blessed be Your name. Hallowed be Your name. So we start with praise, and then we move into supplication, which is petition. That's when we come and say, "Daddy, You are good. You are great. Hey, we've got this going on. We need Your help." And parents, don't you love it when your kids do this in sincerity? And can't you tell the difference when they're not doing it in sincerity? Mandy's not in here. You can tell the difference, can't you, Trish? When it's, "Mommy, I love you." Count $20. This is a pertinent example, right? There's a difference in that and when she spends an hour making a homemade card saying, "Love you, Mommy." And then the next day when she says, "I need something," aren't you happy to give it to her? If we, as human parents, know that distinction, don't you think our Father does? He knows He knows when we're coming to Him as if He is Santa Claus. And He knows when we are coming to Him because He is who He is. And we love Him because we know He loves us. And we have a sincere need or desire, okay? Some people will take this need thing to an extreme, okay? God gives us good gifts. There are things, sometimes, that we will ask Him for that seemingly has no eternal significance whatsoever. And He gives it to us anyway. Right? I mean, have we not all experienced that? You ask for, you're something, Lord, I really like this. And it really doesn't seem to matter at all, but He gives it anyway. He gives us what we need, and He loves to give us the desires of our heart when our hearts are fixed upon Him. Because then the desires coming out of our hearts are the kind that He can grant. So worship, prayer, then supplication, then asking. And notice it says, for all the saints, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He says, be watchful to this end. Now, watchful is an active verb. This is something we're doing. So the Spirit is the one who's praying through us, but we need to be watchful. And this is the idea of being sleepless. It's a guard who stays up all night guarding something. We need to be sleepless, watchful, in looking for opportunities to let the Spirit pray through us for somebody or something for a given situation. Example, a couple nights ago, I had a dream about a friend of mine who lives out in Colorado. I haven't seen him in too long, but he's a dear friend, pastors a church and has a school out in Colorado. But I woke up, had this dream, and woke up with Eric on my mind. So I started praying for him right there in bed. Just started praying for him right then. You know, when God brings somebody or something to our minds, when someone comes to our minds, that's not a random thought. You know, if Dwayne pops into my head, well, that probably means I need to pray for him. I need to call him, say, Dwayne, how's it going? Just had you on my heart. The Spirit will give us those opportunities, but we've got to be watchful to look for them. We've got to be watchful to take those opportunities. This is neat. The word for always, back at the top of verse 18, praying always. It is the idea of at all times. And the word for time is the word kairos that we talked about a few weeks ago. It is the idea of a set time, an appointed time. So we pray at all times. In other words, when God brings that person or that situation to our attention, that is an appointed time by His Holy Spirit. And right then is when we need to pray about it. Right then. Not later. Right then. Maybe it's a thought. Maybe somebody's standing right in front of us and say, hey, I've got this need. You know, if somebody says, I need, please be praying with me about this. Stephen Curtis Chapman had a song that I love, right, called Let Us Pray. Anybody remember that song? It's like midnight. Let us pray, everywhere and every day. Love it. Because he's talking about, in the first verse, if somebody has a need and ask, you know, if I'll be praying for you. And I think the lyrics go, in keeping with convention, I say yes with good intention to pray later, making mention of your needs. But then he goes on and says, but since we have this moment here at heaven's door, we should start knocking now. What are we waiting for? You know, if we're talking to each other and say, hey, be praying with us, let's pray now. Because honestly, I probably am not going to remember 3 hours from now. So let's pray right now. It's the idea of Kairos, that set time, that appointed time. So as we go through our day, we need to be watchful. We need to be paying attention for those set times where the Spirit wants to pray through us with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Being watchful to this end. To what end? That we stand. I think that's what "to this end" is talking about. He's backing up into talking about putting on the armor and standing. So we need to be watchful to the end that we help each other to stand. With all perseverance. Perseverance. Persistency. We don't quit mentality. It's not over until the clock hits 000. And we keep on keeping on. And maybe we have prayed for somebody or something for 30 years. But year 31 might be the year of deliverance. So we keep on praying with persistency, and we don't quit. Supplication with request for all the saints. All the saints. We need to remember this. We are not an island. New Hope Church is not the entirety of the body of Christ on earth. Now, thank God for this local body. And I am glad that we are a body, and I am glad that we are together and that we can pray specifically for each other and for one another. But we need to remember, we have brothers and sisters all over the world. It's one thing I love about Operation Christmas Child. It reminds me of just how many brothers and sisters I have all over this planet. And it reminds me to pray for them. Because there are a lot of them that the things they are going through on a daily basis just makes anything we're dealing with seem absolutely inconsequential. There's a lot of our brothers and sisters around the world who are facing imprisonment, death, separation from family, simply because they claim the name of Jesus. And we need to remember to lift them up and to do whatever the Lord tells us to do to be involved in lifting them up, not just with prayer, but with finances, with our own hands. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, we need to be faithful to do that. But for all the saints. And then, in verse 19, he says, "And for me." Now here is the Apostle Paul. I mean, if ever there was a man of God, he wrote half the New Testament. How'd you like that on a resume? Next Sunday night, you know, when we ordain Jeremy, which, by the way, is not us ordaining Jeremy. It is us recognizing that God has called Jeremy, and we're just saying, yeah, we recognize that. There is a man of God, and we want to acknowledge that. But that'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it, Jeremy? It's like, and Jeremy wrote, you know, 10 books in the New Testament. It's like, all right. That's a pretty good resume. Paul wrote more than that. I think he wrote 13. Can't remember exactly. And he says, pray for me. Wow. So Paul wants these folks at Ephesus to pray for him. Well, what could Paul need prayer for from these, you know, lowly normal Christians? that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Pray for me that I will be able to boldly proclaim the gospel. Guess what? Paul's a man. Just like me, just like Jeremy, just like Farron. He's a human being. And he needs the power of the Holy Spirit too. And everything Paul did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing that Paul did outside of the fact that God used him to write the Bible, which is now complete. Okay? Please don't come to me 2 weeks from now and say, hey, the Lord just inspired me to add this to my Bible. We will have a conversation. But there's nothing that Paul did that God might not call us to do. Because the same Spirit that was in Paul is in us. So Paul needed prayer just as much as you and me do. And he asked specifically that the church at Ephesus pray for him specifically. And not just that they pray for him in, you know, Lord bless Brother Paul. Okay? Sometimes that's all we got. Sometimes the Lord puts somebody on our hearts and we really don't know what's going on. So all we can say is, Lord, your kingdom come in Alvey today. Don't know what's going on. Just, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. And that's all we got. If that's all we got, it's all we got. But if we know specifically what is going on, then we better pray specifically. Because here's the thing. So much of the church prays extremely generalized prayers. Now, I don't know how many churches you've visited or different groups you've been around or, you know, different prayer meetings you've attended around. I've seen a few. And so much of the church prays these huge generalized prayers that if God answered them, they wouldn't know it. Heal all the sick people and save all the lost people. Number one, he's not going to answer that prayer. Not everybody in the world who is sick is going to be healed. Not everyone who is lost is going to come to know Jesus. That's real clear in Revelation. So that save all the lost and heal all the sick, we just quit that. That's not doing anybody any good. What's a lot more effective is targeted, specific prayer. Lord, I pray for Jody today that you would give him an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus and you give him the courage and the wisdom as to how to say it and when to say it. Now, that's the kind of prayer that the Lord can answer. That's the kind of prayer that we will see answers to. And Paul is making that clear. When general is what we've got, like for all the saints, we don't know what all is going on in Syria, but we ought to be praying for them. Boy, when it's somebody we know and we know the scenario, and especially if they have asked us specifically to pray for something, let us be specific, church. Let us be targeted. Let us be pointed in how we pray and in what we pray. Because that is where there is power in prayer. And those of you who pray on a regular basis, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it. You've seen those answers to specific prayer. And it is so powerful. Let's go on a little bit further here. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. He says, pray for me, and here's what he asks, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He is asking that utterance be given to him. In other words, Paul is acknowledging, I don't have anything to say. What I am asking is that you would pray that the Spirit would put words in my mouth. That an utterance is the word logos, which is the word that John uses in John 1 when he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Paul says utterance, logos, word. Pray that the Word may be given to me. And then, in English, this sounds like it's a verb thing, that I may open my mouth. It's really not a verb. It says, pray that utterance may be given to me in my mouth, that I may speak boldly. Paul says, I need the Spirit to give me the words, and then I need the courage to take those words actively and choose to speak them out of my mouth. Boldly, bluntly, frankly. To make known the mystery of the gospel. Now this is something that's powerful with prayer too. And again, this is something where I think so much of the church misses it. Say, we're going to have a moment of silent prayer. Can you pray silently? Yes. Should we pray silently? Yes. If silently is the only way to pray in that moment, all right? You got a bus full of people, and you know the Lord brings somebody to your mind. It might not be the best thing to do, you know, to say, Lord, I just pray for Bruce right now in the name of Jesus that you would just. Maybe not on an airliner, that might not be the best idea. So yeah, maybe we pray silently then. But listen, when we are together as the body of Christ, this whole silent prayer business, I tell you, that is from the enemy. Because the enemy fears the spoken word of God. He fears it. And he tries to shut us up. Though, so I'm just not comfortable praying in front of people. Who are you praying to? I hope you're not praying to me. You're going to be sorely disappointed. We are opening our mouths. I'm not talking to Shane. When we come in here on Wednesday nights and we have prayer meeting, I'm not talking to Shane. I'm not even talking to James. I'm talking to Almighty God, my daddy. And if you're going to ask daddy or mommy for something, you are going to have to ask. I mean, you can try to do the whole body language thing, right? Aiden, ever try to pull that with you? It just kind of gives you the look. Not too effective, though, is it? Mm-mm. No. You got to ask. And the Lord loves to hear His children talk to Him. I mean, you say, well, I don't know what to say. It doesn't matter, all right? Think back to when your kids were just learning to talk. All right? Think back to when your children were just learning to speak. Did you care what came out of their mouths? No. It didn't matter. As long as they said goo goo. Yeah. Yeah. You were like, oh, leave that. You loved it. Why? Because they're yours. Because they're yours and you love them and you are loving watching them grow. So if you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what to even say out loud to God, He doesn't care. He just loves to hear you. The Spirit's praying through us. He'll take care of that. All right? All you might be able to get out is, God, I love you. Please bless so-and-so. And your heart rate might have jumped like 4 times. It's normal pace. That's cool. Good place to start. But boy, when we're together praying, let us open our mouths. Because how did God create the universe? Spoke it. How did Jesus heal the sick or cast out demons so often? Spoke it. How is authority given to a public servant? I solemnly swear to defend the Constitution of the United States, etc., etc. They speak it. And as they speak that, authority is imparted. There is something about opening our mouths, church. Opening our mouths and letting the Spirit get the words out. So if you are uncomfortable praying out loud, hey, start getting comfortable with it. Start in your closet. Start in your bathroom. Start in your bedroom. Just you and the Lord. Start talking to Him. And then, hey, if you're married, you and your spouse, pray together. Bring kids in. Pray all together. Every day. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. It is very true that the family that prays together stays together. And then when we come in here and the opportunity arises to pray, let's pray. When we say, church, we're going to pray, it should not be quiet in this place. Because our voices should be raised to heaven, saying, God, we love you. God, we need you. God, intervene here. You know what? Not only is it good because that's how God wants it, it's also good for each other. All right? If Ray is up here at this altar praying over something, and somebody comes and lays a hand on his shoulder and he can hear them speaking words of prayer over him, that encourages. We need to hear each other praying for each other. It is an encouragement to our hearts. It is how God designed the universe to work. So it is important that we speak. I'm not going to finish this week. Thought I was going to. It's all right. Paul says, pray that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm going to come back to that in a second. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says, for the mystery of the gospel, I am an ambassador in chains. An ambassador. In other words, somebody that represents an authority greater than they are. Right? The United States has diplomatic ambassadors to a lot of countries all over the world. Well, God is about getting ambassadors to every single nation, tribe, and tongue on this planet. Are we saying earlier, you have redeemed us from every nation and we worship you? What does it say in the book of Revelation? It says, I saw a multitude from every nation, tribe, and tongue. That, by the way, is beyond what we think of as countries. We're not just talking about France and Spain and Bulgaria and Australia and New Zealand and Bolivia. Okay? When it's talking about nations, tribes, and tongues. Yep. Nations, that's what we're thinking of. Tribes, tongues. You know how many languages there are in the world? I'm really not sure. I don't think anybody probably knows exactly. But there's way more languages than there are countries. Way more. Because if you recall, in Genesis 11, God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel because people were doing things they shouldn't be doing. And so he made it hard to communicate with each other so they would stop doing the things they were doing and obey him and go all over the earth. And guess what? They did. All over the earth to some of the deepest, darkest, most remote places on the planet where these things do not work. No matter who you've got as your provider, they don't work. There are places in Africa and South America and Asia where your smartphone gets no signal. I promise you. And there are people in those places. And they speak languages that we don't know. And some of those people, some of those groups of people, have never, ever heard some of those people have never, ever heard the name of Jesus. And Paul is an ambassador of the King. And so are we. So he says, I am an ambassador for the mystery of the gospel. And because of this, he says, I am in chains. It's actually singular in Greek. He says, I am in a chain. He's chained. He's in prison when he writes this. And he's praying. He's asking them to pray so that he can open his mouth and speak in this chain, that in it, in the chain, but in the gospel, I may speak boldly. And the idea of boldly there is freely. In other words, yeah, I got this chain. I don't know if it's around his wrist or his ankle or what. But so that in the gospel, I may speak freely because I am free. In his spirit, Paul was free as a bird. And he was asking for boldness to speak the gospel freely because of the freedom that he had from sin, from Satan, and from all it brings. And he says, as I ought to speak. He says, because of this, I ought to speak boldly, and we ought to speak boldly. There ought to be a boldness about us. There ought to be an authority about us. That when we talk about Jesus, we're not apologetic about it. Listen, we don't have to apologize that Jesus has set us free from sin. Why would we, with our heads down, somehow say to someone, Jesus loves you? They're not likely to believe that. They're not likely to believe that. But if you look them in the eye and say, you know what? Jesus saved me. He changed my life. He is God. And He is the King. And He loves you. Well, now they're likely to pay attention to that. They may not believe it, but they're likely to pay attention to it. So that is how we ought to speak. Now, what's all this about? The mystery of the gospel. What mystery? But the gospel is pretty simple, right? Jesus died on the cross, so you can be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven when you die. Well, that's not all. That's not all. The mystery of the gospel, here it is. This and the amazing part is like, oh, how does Joel know? Well, because he told us. Okay? He told us in the New Testament. He unraveled. He revealed the mystery hidden from ages, from the beginning of time. It was hidden, and Jesus was the key that unlocked the whole thing. Mystery of the gospel is this. God has been about, from the beginning of time, making a people for Himself, a bride. And from the time of Moses, basically, until Jesus, everybody who knew the one true God pretty much thought that you had to be a physical descendant of Abraham in order to be in on that. That those who were of physical Jewish descent, who walked with God, but they were going to inherit the earth someday. Said as much. The mystery that's now revealed is this: God had bigger plans. God had bigger plans. Every nation, tribe, and tongue. Before Jesus returns, every language on this planet will hear the name of Jesus, and somebody from that tribe will turn to Him. There will be representatives around the throne from every nation, tribe, and tongue. And God has, through Jesus, brought us who were far off, because I figure there's not too many physical Jewish descendants in the room right now, brought us who were far off near through Jesus and included us in the commonwealth of Israel, like it says back in Ephesians chapter 2. And we have been grafted in. We are His people, made for His glory, and we worship Him. That's the mystery of the gospel, is that God is bringing all who will trust in Him into that people, into that body. And not only that, He is going to fix it all. There's a lot of broken stuff in the world right now. It will not always be broken. He is going to recreate it all. He said that Jesus is the first fruits of the new creation. And He said of us that when we trust in Jesus, we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold what, Jeremy? All things become new. When we trust in Jesus, when I trusted in Jesus, Joel ceased to exist, and Joel came into existence. A new creature walks the earth that did not exist before, because all things are becoming new. He proved it with Jesus. He's now proving it through us. And when all have been brought in, He's going to do it not just with us, with everything around us. You think it's a pretty morning? Oh. It's going to be so glorious. Everything that we love, untainted by sin, untainted by pain or death or suffering. And in that world, we reign with Jesus, what? Forever and ever and ever. That is the gospel. That is the gospel. Do we go to heaven when we die? Yes. That is the entry point. Heaven is holding place right now. But heaven and earth are going to be one someday. And God, just read it. Revelation 21, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Behold, and He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. That is the gospel, that our God reigns. And the amazing part is, right now, He lives and He reigns in us. So we ought to speak boldly because we have good news. Do you know this Jesus? This King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This Savior. The perfect Lamb of God. God Himself. God Himself. That's the mystery. That's part of the mystery of the gospel, is that God Himself became the Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, it was promised that the seed of the woman would come and crush the head of Satan. But what nobody knew, what nobody dreamed, was that the seed of the woman would be the one who made her from Adam's rib. And now that same God lives in us. Huh. Do you know Him? Is He in you? I'm not talking about do you know about Him. I'm not talking about do you believe that He is God. The demons believe Jesus is God and begged Him to leave them alone. I'm saying, do you know Him? Do you trust Him? Have you surrendered to Him as Lord? Have you trusted His finished work to save you? If you have, you are in the family. And everything that we have read in the book of Ephesians applies to you. If you have not, None of it does, but it can. Because you can be in the family today. Will you repent of your sin? Will you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead? He says you will be saved. And that's not a one-time event. That is a lifelong trusting that starts there. Starts there. He seals us and helps us to walk it out by the power of His Spirit. So if you are sitting there and you're lost, you don't know Jesus, this can be the morning you come to know Him. And if you do know Him, let's think about what we've talked about with prayer today. Where are we at? Are we praying specifically? Are we praying with our voices? Are we listening to the Spirit for those opportunities to pray? Or are we just kind of doing prayer however we heard somebody else do it? Let's ask the Lord to teach us to pray that we might see what we just read be ushered in. Because that's the goal. So we're going to pray, and I'm going to ask Jeremy to come up and pray. And I want Shane to pray after Jeremy prays. Both of y'all, out loud. And then, when we're done with this prayer, as we begin to worship, if you need to know Jesus, if you need to surrender to Him and come to know Him, then I ask you to step out of your seat as we stand in a moment. Step out of your seat, come to the front, and publicly acknowledge Jesus. Because that's what He tells us to do in His Word. And if you've got other business you need to do with the Lord, if you need someone to pray with you, Shane and Jeremy will be up here, others. And let's let the Lord have His way as we come to this time of worship. Jeremy?
Let's all stand. Father, we just thank You, God, just for how amazing You are, God. God, that You're in the room and that You, the mystery of the gospel is You wanting to be in us, that You want to dwell in us, God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So, Father, we just lift up Your name today, God, and we just thank You, Father, for Your Spirit moving, God, that You move in us and through us, God, that we are Your children, Father, and that we're here to worship You, God. We're not here because it's Sunday. We're here to encounter the God of the universe. We're here to encounter You. You are the prize. You are the goal, and You always have been, God. So God, right now we lift up our voices to You. We lift up our hearts and cries in desperation and need of You, Father. And we just invite Your presence into the room, God. Thank You that You would take us deeper. Take us deeper, farther than we could ever imagine into Your presence, God, into knowing You. God, let Your name be lifted up. Thank You, Father. You're amazing, and we surrender. And we give ourselves to You, Father. You're here and You're real. We might not see You, but we know You're here. Because You said You are, and we feel Your presence right now, God. Let Your fire fall, God. Let our lives be an acceptable sacrifice for You to fall on. God, let our lives be the place where Your presence rests, God. Father, we lift You up. Thank You, Father.
Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, Lord, again, thank You for this day You've given us, Father. Lord, right now I just pray for the people that are here this morning, Father. I pray, I lift them up in Your name, Father. Lord, right now I just pray that if there's someone here that don't know You, that they will have the courage to step forward and to make that decision on faith. Spirit of confusion, fear, and anything else that might be blocking this person from coming forward, I pray against that right now in the name of Jesus. You said whatever we bound on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So right now we bind that up in the blood, by the blood, power, and name of Christ. And Lord, right now I just pray that Your Spirit fall this morning, Father, and I pray that Your will be done here this morning, Father. Your word be planted in the seed of our hearts this morning, Father, and You will be represented this morning, Father. Now, Lord, right now, I just pray for each one of us that are here this morning, Father, that You'll guide, protect us and everything that we come in contact with and do this week, Father. Lord, right now, I just praise your name. You are worthy, you are mighty, and you are great. You are the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, and Alpha and the Omega. Lord, you are the Abba Father. And we just lift that up right now to you in the name of Jesus. We just worship your name, Father, for you are great and mighty and honorable. Lord, we can't thank you enough for what you've done here at New Hope Church and what you're going to continue to do in the future. But we got to do it with you. We're not going to do it for us, but we're doing it for you and with you. And you're going to be our captain. Lord, right now, just thank you. Just lift your name up. Lift your name up, people. Just come on. Just worship him, Father. Yes, Father, you are mighty. You are great. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Christ Jesus. You are mighty.